Have you ever watched a departure and thought the airplane on the ramp wasn't quite the airplane you expected? That's the kind of thing that trips a controller's brain. You clear a flight, you have a mental picture of the metal, and then the picture doesn't match. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS, the show where I hand you the aviation headlines with the context a pilot actually cares about. Today, we've got a story that sounds like a spy novel, but is really a lesson in how presidential airlift works. Let's get into it. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSold.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSold.com. Here's what you need to know according to a report published by Flying Magazine. President Trump, on the trip back from Turkey, allegedly did not board the aircraft everybody was watching. The report says he was moved to a different airplane using an airport catering truck, and that he then departed aboard a Boeing C-32. Let me translate that tail number for you, because the airframe is the interesting part. The C-32 is the military designation for a modified Boeing 757. It's the airplane you've seen 1,000 times and maybe never clocked. When the vice president flies, or when the secretary of state flies, or when the first lady flies, they very often fly on a C-32. It carries the call sign that matches who's aboard. When the president is aboard any Air Force aircraft, that call sign becomes Air Force One. That's the rule people get wrong. Air Force One is not an airplane. It's a call sign. It belongs to whatever Air Force aircraft is carrying the president at that moment. So the headline here isn't that a president flew on a Boeing 757. The headline is the method. A catering truck, a quiet switch, a decoy airplane left sitting where the cameras were pointed. The headline doesn't tell the whole story. Now, I want to be careful here. This is a report. The word allegedly is doing real work in that sentence, and I'm going to flag it as unconfirmed rather than pretend I was standing on the ramp in Turkey. The Secret Service and the Air Force do not brief the press on how they move a protected person, and that silence is by design. So treat the specific details as reporting, not as gospel, but the technique itself? That's not exotic, that's doctrine. Here's why this affects the way you should think about airspace and airlift. When a president moves, there is almost always more than one airplane in the picture. There's the primary. There's a backup that is very often identically configured, and the movement between the ground and the airplane is deliberately unpredictable. The whole point is to break the pattern a watcher would rely on. If you can't tell which airplane holds the principal, you can't plan anything against it. The catering truck detail, if it's accurate, fits that pattern perfectly. It's a vehicle nobody looks at twice. Every airport on Earth has catering trucks rolling around the ramp. It's mundane. And mundane is exactly what you want when the objective is to be boring and invisible. This affects you if you've ever flown into an airport during a presidential movement, because you have felt the downstream of this doctrine even if you never saw the airplane. That downstream has a name. It's the temporary flight restriction, the TFR. When the president is on the move, the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, throws up a TFR that is unlike almost any other you'll encounter. It's not a little ring. It is typically a 30 nautical mile shell with an inner core of 10 nautical miles where general aviation flying is essentially shut down, and an outer ring where you can operate but only under a specific set of rules, on a discrete transponder code. In two-way communication, on a filed flight plan, bust one of those, and you're not getting a phone number and a stern talking to. You're potentially getting intercepted, you're potentially getting a visit. The enforcement posture around a presidential TFR is in a different universe from a busted Class D. So here's the practical takeaway, and it's the same takeaway every single time, and I will keep saying it until it's boring. Check NOTAMs every flight, every time. The Notice to Air Mission System, what we used to call Notices to Airmen, is where these presidential TFRs live. They pop up with real timelines, and they move as the protected person moves. The airplane switch we're talking about is exactly the kind of thing that generates a fluid, changing restriction. The airspace over a departure point can go hot and then cold on a schedule you're not privy to. If you're flying anywhere near a major metro, near a resort area, near anywhere a senior official might travel, you pull the briefing. You look specifically for the VIP TFR. The FAA even publishes a dedicated graphic depiction of them, and there are apps that will scream at you when one lights up along your route. The pilot who gets intercepted almost never knew the TFR existed. That's the pattern. It's not defiance, it's a skipped briefing. Let me pull back up to the big picture for a second because there's a genuinely interesting operational point buried in this story. Redundancy is the theme of presidential airlift, and redundancy is a theme every one of us should respect. That's two identically capable airplanes so that no single failure, mechanical or otherwise, strands the mission. It's the catering truck as a backup boarding method so that the obvious method isn't the only method. It's layers. You fly with layers too, or you should. A backup for your primary navigation, a plan B airport when the plan A weather goes down, a flashlight when the panel lights fail. The president's operation does it at a scale with a budget you and I will never see, but the philosophy scales all the way down to a rented Cessna 172 on a Saturday morning. Don't build a flight that only works if everything works. One more note on the airframe. Because I love this detail that Boeing 757, the C-32, is getting on in years, and it is prized precisely because it can get into shorter runways that the big Boeing 747-based aircraft cannot. It's the nimble option in the fleet. When the mission needs an airport that the jumbo can't use, or needs a lower profile, the 757 is the airplane that goes, so the choice of a C-32 out of Turkey, if the report holds up, may be as much about airport performance as it is about secrecy. That's the part I'd want another pilot to catch. The airplane you pick tells you something about the runway you're planning for. Let me bottom line this for you. A report says the president switched airplanes on the way home from Turkey using a catering truck to board a Boeing C-32. I can't confirm the specifics. And I've told you plainly which parts are reporting and which parts are established doctrine. What I can tell you is that the technique is ordinary for that world, that it exists to break patterns, and that the airspace consequences of presidential travel land squarely in your flight planning through TFRs and NOTAMs. Check the briefing. Respect the restriction, fly with layers of your own. That reporting came from Flying Magazine, and the airspace rules are straight out of the FAA's own NOTAM and TFR guidance. You can always find more at radiohanger.com. I am Tower. Keep your head on a swivel and your NOTAMs current, and I'll see you on the next ATIS.